Somebody lift up your voice and bless the Lord's name today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for worshiping with us on this special Palm Sunday celebration service. We're truly thankful to the Lord. And thank you for being here with us in person, those of you that are here. And thank you for being here with us online, those of you that are online. Hallelujah. Amen. We welcome you. The presence of the Lord is here. I know you can feel it. There's so much celebration and so much joy. And we're truly thankful to Him. Amen. Amen. We are going to start out with our confessions, our 2024 confessions. So if you have it, please get it out. If you don't have it, it will be on the screen right there behind me. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go. 2, 3, go. 2024 is my year of God-class exploit and the year of the fourth man. I am God's offspring, and in Him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being born of the seed of God Himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's kind, and I overcome the world. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. The fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stones to glory testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The king's shout is within me, and the lion's roar is rolling out of me. I raise the roof with my praise. I cry out and shout for joy. The greatest one lives here. I am feeding and reigning at a higher level. I have spiritual jurisdiction here. I take authority over this. Peace be still. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is my year of covenant release. I am undercover. No satanic plan against me, no divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am undercover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am undercover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with a booster shot of the covenant. I am undercover. I am prospered, protected, and preserved in the ark. I am undercover. I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am undercover in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. I am finding favor in unexpected places, and I see the ram caught in a thicket. The barrel of meal shall not waste. And the cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is sending rain on my field, and there shall be showers of blessings. I am one with God, and I possess what God possesses. I have the spirit of adoption. He is my father, and I am a joint heir with Christ. I have real estate in heaven, and I have real estate on the earth. I lift my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My God has made me rich. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. The boundaries are broken and the limits are off. See, God has given me the cities, and the walls of Jericho are fallen. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, everything is possible. Kayo de Tadeshe, I prophesy over you today. Your dwellings are lovely and your homes are beautiful. You will spread out like rivers, like gardens by a river, like sweet-smelling aloes that the Lord himself planted, and like strong cedar trees by the waters. You will pour water out of your own buckets and have your own channels of rich plenty, blessing and plenty. Your offspring will dwell by many waters, and your life and legacy will be exalted and established. The God who brought you out of captivity has the strength of a wild bull, and he will destroy your adversaries and crush their bones. You are like a lion who couches in rest after winning the victory, and who dares disturb you? Blessed of the Lord is anyone who blesses you, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Please be seated in the Lord's presence. What a powerful confession. It's a message, it's a sermon by itself. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Please go with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Son of David, Son of God, King of Israel. Son of David, Son of God, King of Israel, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. Let's go to Mark chapter 11 from verse 1. And when they came near to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. And he said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you are entered into it, you will find a colt tied, that's a donkey, tied, whereon never has a man sat on it. Loose that donkey and bring him to me. He didn't want a donkey that somebody has sat on before. Hallelujah. I know many religious people will say, why doesn't he just sit on any kind of donkey? He said, I want a donkey no human being has ever sat on before. This man knows who he is. I don't want a donkey sick by the side of the road receiving CPR. I don't want a donkey that is broken down, that people are having pity on. I want a donkey. The best possible. How many of you know God always wants your best?
Yes.
You know why? Because he deserves the best. He deserves the best. And he gave you his best. God didn't send you an angel. He didn't send angel Gabriel, angel Simon, angel Michael. Who did he send you? He sent you Jesus. He gave you the best. The best that he had in heaven. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have what? Everlasting. He gave you the best that he had. So he demands the best. I love him. You know, for several weeks, for quite probably over a month, since we left the early part of the new year, we have been ministering on the theme, Born of God, I Know Who I Am. And we have been talking a lot about who we are in Christ. Right? Who we are in Christ. If you don't know who you are in Christ, this world will cheat you. If you don't know who you are in Christ, the devil will walk all over you. Situations will take advantage of you. If you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't know who you are in Christ, you'll be like a beggar when you are really supposed to be a prince. If you don't know who you are in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, go bring me the best. I want the best. There are so many believers when they pray, say, Lord, just give me whatever little, any little crumb you can find. You know, like that woman when Jesus said, you know, the woman said, heal my daughter. Jesus said, well, healing is bread for the children. And the woman said, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs. There are so many New Covenant, New Testament, modern day believers who are still speaking like that woman. They say, even dogs eat of the crumbs. So just give me some crumbs. I don't mind if I'm like a dog. You are not a dog. It was okay for that woman to compare herself to a dog because she was not in the covenant. It was by the mercy of God that she became pulled into the benefit of the covenant, and she had access to things that only covenant people have access to. But she wasn't a covenant man. She wasn't a covenant woman. She wasn't a covenant child of God. So yes, it was okay for her to compare herself to a dog. And even then, Jesus, Son of David, the Lord of mercy, hallelujah,
amen,
he had mercy on that woman. He said, okay, you can receive this. But you are not a dog. Say with me, I'm not a dog.
I am not a dog.
Say, I'm a covenant child of God.
I deserve the best.
I deserve the best of heaven's blessings in my life. I deserve the best of heaven's favor.
I deserve the best of heaven's
victories in my life. The way you talk about yourself is very different when you know who you are. The way you carry yourself, you are not cheap. Don't act like you are cheap, like, you know, anything is fine, just anything you can give me, anything, just, if you scrape the bottom of the barrel, just anything, just, anything is fine for me. No, it's not.
No. Amen.
You are a child of God.
Amen.
You are a child of the King.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, go bring me. I love the authority with which he declared it. Look at this. He said, go bring me. You will find a donkey that is tied somewhere. Nobody has ever sat on that donkey. Bring him to me. Did you pay for the donkey? Did you buy it? Did you pay for the rent that the person pays to keep that new, fresh donkey? No. How can you speak with so much authority? Because he knows who he is. Amen. Look at the further instructions he gives. He said, and if any man, he already told them, if any man says unto you, why are you doing this? He knew somebody would say, why are you doing this? Because he's not the owner of it. They are not the owner of it. The Lord said to them, say to them, the Lord has need of him. Oh, hallelujah. Say to them, the Lord has need of him. And straight away he will send him. Straight away, look at that. Once you tell them, the Lord has need of him, immediately he will send them. They won't argue with you. They won't say, show us the title of ownership. They won't say, show us, do you lease it? Are you leasing it? Are you renting it? Show them. No, he says, just tell them, the Lord has need of it. And immediately, there will be no argument. Immediately, there will be no controversy. Immediately, they will send it. Immediately. I think when those disciples heard him saying that, you know, they've learned not to argue with Jesus now. Because they've argued before and they have, you know, the whole world has seen their behind. And no, we're not arguing now. We're just, poop, we don't understand how this will happen. If he said, let's just go do it, they just followed, they just went and did it. It happened exactly like he told them. So they went their way. They went away in verse 4. They found a donkey that was tied by the door out in the open street, and they loosed that donkey. And some people who were standing there said unto them, what are you doing untying the donkey? I'm reading in the Amplified Version. It's easier to follow. And they replied as Jesus had directed them. And what did they do? They allowed them to go. No argument. They allowed them to go. I love the authority of Jesus. Do you know that same authority belongs to you as a child of God?
Yes.
Do you know that?
Yes.
Do you have rights? You know you have rights and privileges as a child of God?
Yes.
The most pitiful people on this earth, I believe, pitiful, are people who don't know their rights and their privileges. If you don't know your rights and your privileges, the world will walk all over you. I know who I am. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. I know who I am. I am a covenant child of God. I have rights and I have privileges. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12, but to as many, he came unto his own and his own received him, verse 11, he's going to receive him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. And if you look at that original word in the Amplified Version, he describes that word power. The original word is really authority, exousia, in the Greek. But in the Amplified Version, if you look at that scripture, he gave them the power, the privilege and the right.
Yes.
But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave them the authority, the power, the privilege, and the right to become the children of God.
Yes.
You have a right and a privilege. Because of Jesus. You are not the law of the earth. You are not a dog. You are not to be pitied. You have a right and a privilege. privilege. You have power and authority. You are a child of God. You are a child of the Most High King.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I love it. I love it. I love it so much. I love the authority that flows out of our covenant relationship with God. You can't deny it. You can't deny it.
No.
There's power and authority to reign in life. There's power and authority to conquer.
Yes.
There's power and authority to come out. You can come out of anything.
Yes.
There is nothing you are in today that you can't come out of.
Amen.
You can come out of anything. If Jesus came out of the grave, you can come out of anything.
Yes.
If Jesus came out of the grave, after 3 days,
yes.
you can come out of anything.
Yes.
There is no situation on this earth that you find yourself in that you cannot come out. You can come out of anything.
Yes.
That record can be changed for you.
Yes.
I said that record can be changed for you.
Yes.
What has been written can be unwritten for you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The verdict can be reversed.
Yes.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember several years ago, we were going through this case. And, you know, it had to do with, you know, property and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we sat down with our attorneys. And I remember the group of attorneys, you know, I kind of had attended a lot of those meetings and, you know, had gone back and forth. But I wanted Pastor Tinu to get a taste of our what we had been dealing with. So one last meeting, I took her with me. I said, come, let's go together. So she came and we sat down on one end of the table. The attorney sat down on the other end of the table. And in that meeting, the attorneys were telling us, There is no way around it. There is nothing you can do about it. This is it. Accept this or that it is over. And we said, no, we are children of God. We refuse to accept anything that is below what God has promised us.
Yes.
I'm telling you, group of attorneys. It wasn't one, it wasn't two.
Yes.
Right? Group. They sat down on the other end. Two of us sat on the other. Of course, they could only see two of us, but there were angels.
Hallelujah.
There were angels right there. They said, you have to accept this. You don't have this. So who said that? Who said that? And even, yeah, they were not the other people that this were the attorneys representing us.
Wow.
I mean, the other attorneys had already said their own. This one, they said, just forget it completely. So our own attorneys got together to try to persuade us to take the deal. And the Bible says, who said when God has not said?
Who said?
Who said?
Who said? I have a right and a privilege. I'm a child of God. I represent Jesus. You see that in that confession? I speak for Jesus. I stand with Jesus. Now, when I stand, I don't stand for myself. That's why I'm careful. We sat down there in that meeting. It was not on our own authority. We were not representing ourselves. We were representing Jesus. They knew everything we believed. They knew it. So we were very respectful. And some people, you know, they go to doctor's office, doctor, you know, reads the test that they just did, and the doctor is just telling them what they are interpreting the test. They say, this is telling us your blood cells are this, and then they start shouting in the doctor, no, in Jesus' name, I reject it. At least respect the man, he paid for his office. Say, no, I reject that. I reject that. And the reason they are doing that is actually they are afraid. That's what it is. Fear. You know, fear will make people do crazy stuff. When you meet people with jumping, you know, something happened as you say, hey, what's that? In Jesus' name. It's fear. I mean, people who are confident. Have you ever seen a king jump?
No.
Have you ever seen people in authority startled? Mm-hmm. You see people, he's shaking. And then, no, in Jesus' name, it's not so. No. The devil knows, we got him. The devil said, we got him. Just hit that thing, put some more fire, because we got him. Once he sees you sweating, he knows he got you. Hallelujah. He said, no, well, you know, be respectful. You know, yeah, okay, thank you for letting me know. And then go home and talk to your father. And whatever the options doctor has given you, then call doctor back and say, well, after times of prayer, I think we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and be calm. But remember, you are in authority. You have rights and privileges. You are a child of God. We were very respectful. We heard everything they said. And we left. And we came back. And they gave me a day to get back with them, give them a final word. I think I had maybe over two days. I'm not sure. Maybe 1 week. I'm not sure. And I came into the office and I heard the voice of God about it. And the Lord said, this is what you are supposed to do. And I called them and said, this is what? They said, what? That's what you are going to do? After all this? That's what we're going to do. There's no way. That is what we're going to do. You see, fear kills people before they die. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to do. They reached out to the other team. Miraculously, the team said, okay, if that's what you want, then let's do that. That's it. End of story. It settled the matter. It will settle the matter. As a child of God, you have rights. I didn't say it will be easy. The difficulty, the greatest difficulty is knowing it. That's why these services are so powerful. This receiving the word of God, getting a revelation for yourself, and being built in that revelation. This is where the work is. The work isn't between when, you know, it's not there in the Red Sea. It's not there in the valley. The work is when you get yourself set apart to establish within you the revelation of what God says about you and about your situation, and that revelation becomes settled within you and you have an understanding about it because you have meditated the word of God, you have interacted with the Holy Spirit, you have talked to the Father about it, you have gone back and forth, you have told the Lord your concerns, you've told him your fears, you have told him where you are uncertain, you have done all of that, and then the Lord has given you peace in the matter. Then you get up.
Yes.
That's the victory won.
Amen.
So then no matter what happens after that, that's not the work. The problem with a lot of believers, that's when we want to do the work. We want to do the work when the fires are raging. There's nothing wrong with doing what you need to do in that moment. But before then, you've got to know, like the three Hebrew boys, the God we serve, he will deliver us.
Yes.
He said to the king, but even if he does not, we're going in that fire, let's go. See, you know, they already knew there is no way the fourth man would not show up for them. They knew that.
Yes.
They knew that. Because why did they tell the king, we still will not worship you, even if he doesn't show up? We still will not. Well, if he doesn't show up, then they won't be alive to make the decision not to worship him. Right? Do you understand this? If the king, if the fourth man doesn't show up and they throw them in the fire and they die, then they don't have the decision to make anymore. They're already dead. But they told him, say, even if he doesn't show up, we still will not. Meaning, we still will be in a place where we can make a decision whether to worship you or not, and we still choose not to, because they fully believed. As a child of God, you have privileges. You have rights. And they brought, this is verse 7, they brought the donkey to Jesus. They brought the donkey to Jesus and they put their garments on him, on the donkey. And Jesus sat on the donkey. And many spread their clothes in the way and others cut down branches. What we are celebrating today, we're celebrating the King of Kings. We're saying Hosanna in the highest. We're singing this. Hosanna in the highest, because we recognize him for who he is. He is Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is Jesus, the Son of David. He is Jesus, the Son of God. He is Jesus, the King of Israel. We recognize him. He is Jesus, our soon coming King. And they that went before and they that followed, they cried saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I like it. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David. They knew it. They connected Jesus with David. They knew the prophecies that had gone ahead of Jesus through David. And they fully received it. And they fully believed it. And they fully possessed it. They fully expected he is the Son of God. He is the Son of David. He is the King of Israel. And Jesus was just on that donkey. Just reigning. Like he said, like that scripture we read in Zechariah. Like your king will come. Your king will come. Hallelujah. Riding on the on a foal, on a little donkey, reigning. Jesus was just reigning. He's just showing them. If you joined some of our ALO services, you've heard me talk briefly sometimes about something that is referred to, a lot of theologians call this the law of double reference. That is, sometimes you read something in the Bible that is talking to someone directly or talking about someone directly in the natural that you can see, but really God is speaking beyond that person. He's speaking to that person you can see, but he's also speaking beyond that person to somebody you can't see. And what he's saying directly applies to both people. Like when he told that woman, when he told Eve in the Garden of Eden, and said, you know, because you did this, you know, the serpent will bite your heel, and you will crush it. And yeah, he was talking to the woman, and he was talking to the serpent, but. He was really referring to Lucifer, Satan. You remember one time when Peter started trying to rebuke Jesus, when Jesus said, I'm going on the cross, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do the will of God. And Peter said, no, Lord, don't say that. You won't do that. We're not doing that. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And Jesus was not talking, he wasn't calling Peter Satan. He could see it was Peter. But notice, Jesus said exactly to that man what he had already said to Satan in the, you know, when he had his temptations. Yes. Remember? When he first came out and he had these temptations. And Satan came and he said, I rebuke you, Satan. You remember? Yes. He tempted him, you know, turned these stones to bread. And just, I rebuke you. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's what he said to him. He said exactly the same word to Peter. But he wasn't saying it to Peter. He was rebuking Peter in the natural. But he knew that there was a force that was operating. You know, Peter let down his guard. And sometimes if you let down your guard, Satan will take advantage of you too, through people. Through people. Somebody said principalities operate through personalities. Sometimes Satan can use some of the closest people around you. Sometimes Satan can take advantage. Be careful what you listen to. Sometimes Satan can take somebody's voice and speak to you to derail you.
That's true. Yes.
From what God wants to do in your life. And so when they call him the son of David, I mean, when those prophecies came, you remember, even in this situation where they were, you know, worshiping him and, you know, they had the palms and they were Hosanna, Hosanna. Just before this, Jesus encountered a blind man. Just before this. And that blind man recognized him for who he was. In Mark chapter 10 from verse 46. Look at this real quick. Mark chapter 10 from verse 46. And when they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Well, let me ask you, in the natural, who was the son of David? In the natural, who was really the son of David? Let's go back a little bit. Let's look at what the angel said. Go to Luke chapter 1. This will not be long. Stay with me. I just want you to get something on Palm Sunday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Luke chapter 1. What's my time? 12:50. I have 10 minutes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at this right here. In Luke chapter 1, when the angel came and announced the birth of Christ to Mary. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you will call his name what? Jesus." Verse 32. "He shall be great." Somebody say, "He shall be great." And everything that God says about Jesus, he says about you. "He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." You see that? The Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Let me ask you one more time. Who was the natural son of David? Solomon. Thank you. It's not a trick question. Who was the natural son of David? Somebody say Solomon. All this son of David, son of David, son of David. The natural son of David was Solomon. Look right there real quickly. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7 real quickly. Just a couple of verses there. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let's read verse 12. God sent a prophet named Nathan to go speak to David in the latter days of David's reign. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. "And Nathan said unto David, And when thy days be fulfilled, and when you will sleep with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." Who is he talking about? Solomon or Jesus? Now, that's a trick question. Now, this one is a trick question. All right. Who is he talking about? I needed to wake you up. I want you to get something in my last 10 minutes. Okay, I want you to get something in my last 10 minutes before I close here, okay? Let's read it together. God sent a prophet named Nathan to go speak to David in the final years of David's life. And these are the words that Nathan spoke to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. And when your days are fulfilled, you will sleep with your fathers, and I will set up your seed after you, who will proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13. And he will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him. As I took it from Saul, whom I put away from thee, from before you. Watch, look at the last verse here. Look at the last verse, verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. I want to ask you again. It's a trick question. Who is he speaking to? Solomon or Jesus? It's called the law of double reference. Some of what he's saying is for Solomon, but a lot of what he's saying is for Jesus. That's why blind Bartimaeus said, "Son of David." He's not calling Solomon. No. Son of David. And you see right there, in Matthew chapter 1, I think it's either verse 1 or probably let's look at that. There is a straight line from Abraham to David and a straight line from David to Jesus. And a straight line from Jesus to you. Glory to God. I tell you, I don't know about you. These scriptures caused me to explode. I just suddenly felt I had to hold myself together. Like, hold on. Like, I suddenly feel I can do anything. I feel I can leap over a wall. I feel I can run through a troop. I feel like there is nothing impossible. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 1. The son of Abraham, the son of David. Matthew 1:1. The very first verse of the New Testament. The very first verse of the New Testament. Look at it. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And if you trace it back, like they do in some other parts of the Gospels, they actually take it from Abraham all the way back to Adam in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 1. And then they connect Adam with God. The son of Abraham, the son of Adam, the son of God. That means you have the seed of God in you through Jesus. Amen. You have the seed of God. So when you hear them, "Oh, son of David, have mercy on me." Oh, son of, that blind man had been hearing stories about the son of David before Jesus finally showed up there. Yeah, thank you. Luke 3:38. What does it say? Can you put that up for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. There he said, you see that? Which was the son of Enoch? Which was the son of Seth? Which was the son of Adam? Which was the son of God? A direct line. So, you came out of God. You yourself. Look at you and yourself. You came out. You carried the seed of God. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and say, I don't know my life. I don't know. My life is unraveling right before me. I don't know if I'm ever going to become anything. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Shut up. You are the son of God. Yeah. You carry the seed of God within you. Hallelujah. You carry the seed of God within you. There's a direct line right from God to you because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I tell you, there's a place you can get to in your relationship with God. You just don't touch this. Satan, don't even try. Don't even mess with me. Hallelujah. You know what he said to them in Galatians chapter 3? You are Abraham's seed. And look at this. Real quick. Galatians chapter 3. Look at what he said. After he said in verse 13. I got to close right here. He said in verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Do you know what it means to redeem someone? Do you know what it means to redeem somebody? Huh? His price is paid. You buy them back. That is, you now belong to another owner. I used to be a slave, and I belonged to Satan. And he could kick me around like a football and do anything he wanted to do with my life. But Jesus came and redeemed me. He paid the price to buy me back. So who owns me now? I'm asking you, it's not a trick question. Who owns me now? Therefore, if Jesus owns me now, everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to me. That's why the Bible calls me and you a joint heir with Christ. You are a joint heir with Christ. You are a joint heir with Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, let's close right here. Hallelujah. How many places did we go? We didn't go. There are many we haven't gone. That's fine. There are many we didn't go. Son of David. Many we didn't go. But that's fine. It's okay. Look at it. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 16. Now, to Abraham and his seed, singular. I need this to sink in. This is my last one right here. I have so much more, but I got to close right here. I need this to sink into you. Sink into your spirit. Listen to this. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. God wants you to know, he is not saying seeds plural. He's not saying seeds plural. He's saying seed singular. Now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, plural, as though he was talking to many. He's not talking to many, but as of one. Hush. He's talking of one seed. One seed. My friends, and this one seed cannot be corrupted. Amen. This one seed cannot be corrupted. There is nothing. That's why Jesus lived such a pure life. When he was in that wilderness and Satan was tempting him, he wasn't thinking of him, he was thinking of you. He was thinking of me. Because if Satan has succeeded in corrupting that seed, you and I will not have access to the redemption that we have access to today. The Bible says he sanctified himself and lived in truth because of you and because of me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. That one seed could not be corrupted. That's why if you trip up, you can get up again. Because the original seed cannot be corrupted.
Amen.
You can always go back to Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can go back to Jesus like blind Bartimaeus went to Jesus.
Yes.
You can go back to Jesus like that woman went to Jesus. You remember? Blind Bartimaeus said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." If you ever trip up, you just need to find your way back to Jesus. Because it can never be corrupted. All you need to do, "Son of David," this is your Son of David moment. I said, this is your Son of David moment. Hallelujah. And when the accuser of the brethren comes and speaks to you and says, "Look at you. You said something silly last night. You remember you told a lie on Tuesday. You remember? God can never forgive you. Just look at you. After all that God has done for you, you stinking liar." Just once. And Satan will rub it in. He will bring the pictures again and show you how you lied and show you, oh, and you go, oh, oh, oh. You just need to find your way back to Jesus. "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David." Stand to your feet, everybody. Say, "Son of David." It cannot be corrupted. You and Jesus are in covenant. You and Jesus are in covenant. God wants you to know these promises that were made to Abraham's seed is not many. Because if it was many, Satan will corrupt it. He has the power to corrupt it. But he made this promise to one seed. That one seed is Jesus. Because of who Jesus is, your life, you become incorruptible. Hallelujah. You have become incorruptible. Because all you need to do is get back up on your feet and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Let's close right here. Let's close here. Look, now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he saith not unto seeds as though they were many, but as of one. One. Somebody say just one.
Just one.
Somebody says just one. So when you say "Son of David" today, we are not calling Solomon. Solomon was corrupted.
Hear me.
When you say "Son of David" today, you are not saying Solomon. You are not saying anybody else. You know who you are saying? Jesus. The one that can never be corrupted. The one that can never be corrupted. Hey! Jesus! Son of David! Jesus! Son of David! He said to one. Just one. Not to many. And to thy seed. And he tells us the one. He tells us the one. His name is what? I said his name is what? Then he now used that one. See, that one was the almighty formula that could not be corrupted. He now used that one to drag in all the corruptibles. He brought them into that one that cannot be corrupted. And because this one cannot be corrupted, and he has brought them into that one, then they also cannot be corrupted anymore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's it. To thy seed, which is Christ. And then he closed the chapter in verse 26. This is how he closes the chapter. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26. For you all. Hallelujah! 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 For you all. Look at your neighbor, say, even you. Say, plus you. Plus beautiful you. Plus ugly him. For you all are the children of God by faith. By faith in who? In Christ Jesus. Now listen. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ and as I put on Christ. Oh, listen to this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. There is no black or white. Even though sometimes politicians want us to believe there is different. There is no black or brown. There is no difference in culture. There is no difference in background. In Christ Jesus. I know some of you need to get this revelation. Your brother in Christ is closer to you than your natural brother. Some of you need to get this revelation. Your sister in Jesus. I know the Lord showed me one time. He said one of the biggest traps that a lot of believers fall into is their natural families still mean more to them than the spiritual family that they have in Christ. He said because of that lack of understanding, Satan continually traps them. It's a huge revelation. If you ever get this, it will change your life forever. Your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ, is closer to you than your blood brother. Unless your blood brother is also in Christ, which makes it double blessing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But if you ever were to choose between your brother in Christ and your natural blood, your natural family, your sister in Christ and your natural sister, your family, your father in Christ, your mother in Christ, and your natural, you go with the blood of Christ first, because the blood of Jesus takes absolute precedence over everything else. Did you hear what I said earlier on in this service? It is incorruptible. It is incorruptible. Close it out here. Look at it. There is neither Jew nor Greek. No bond nor free. No male or female. You are all one. In Christ Jesus. Watch this. Last verse. And if you are Christ, if you be Christ, then. Oh, hallelujah. Then. Are you Abraham's seed. And heirs. According to the promise. Would you lift up your hand and thank God for Jesus today? Let's thank God for the Son of David today. Let's thank God for the Son of David. Let's thank God for the Son of David. Let's thank God today for the Son of David. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's thank God today for the Son of David. Help me. Help me as you chew on this revelation today. Let's thank God for the Son of David. Let's thank God for Emmanuel. Let's thank God for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's thank God for the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Let's thank God for He who was, He who is, and He who is to come. Let's thank God for Him. We are redeemed of the Lord because of Jesus. We are purchased with a price because of Jesus. Let's thank God for Jesus today. Let's thank God for Jesus today. Let's thank God for Jesus today. I have a witness in my spirit. There might be some people here or some people online who's joining us virtually who need to cry out, Son of David, like blind Bartimaeus. Who need to cry out because you may have stepped out a little bit of your covenant with God. You may have misplaced your steps a little bit. You may have strayed in a wrong direction sometime. You may be living under the condemnation of the enemy. But today, the Son of David, the one who is the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, his hands of mercy are being stretched out towards us, towards you. Today you can get back in the covenant. Today you can find your place as the seed of Abraham. Today you can be reconnected with the everlasting covenant that God made with David. Today you can find your place there. And it's as simple as ABC. I don't know where you were last night. I don't know what you did last week. But I want you to know, in this moment, Jesus is right here. And his arms are outstretched towards you to bring you back into his fold, to bring you back into the covenant of God. I'll make it easy for you. I'll lead you in a prayer. And everyone here under the sound of my voice will join us in that prayer. Many of us will be praying that prayer, and we're praying it from our hearts. But for some of us, you are really praying that prayer from your heart because you absolutely need a shift in your relationship with God. And when you pray that prayer, God does something supernatural in your life that will stay with you forever. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, here I am in your presence, in the midst of the saints. I'm here, Lord, not on account of my own righteousness, not because I'm that good. Lord, in fact, I've missed my way. I've stepped out of the covenant. Lord, in fact, I have hurt you. Lord, in fact, I have despised the blood of covenant by which I was redeemed. But today, I heard your Son preach your word. And he said, if I cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Your arms of mercy are already outstretched towards me, and you are willing to pull me back into your covenant. Father, I confess every waywardness, every way in which I've missed it. I ask for your mercy today. Please have mercy on me in the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't look upon me. Look upon the blood of Jesus. Don't look upon my error. Look upon the eternal sacrifice of Jesus. Father, I confess every failing, every error. I repent of every sinfulness. And today, I commit myself wholeheartedly to being in the covenant. I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I renounce every sin. I renounce every waywardness. I accept the forgiveness that Jesus brought for me. Father, I thank you. Because from this moment onwards, I know I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I'm justified, I'm redeemed. Holy Spirit, come in my heart. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Give me a new beginning. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Would you lift up your hands to heaven, and in your own words, as we close this service out, will you have a personal, intimate conversation with the Father? and tell him what is dear in your heart. Tell him, I know we came, it's a celebration service, but in the midst of the celebration, he's also touching our lives. He's also blessing our lives. He's also moving in our lives. Would you go ahead and tell him from the depth and the bottom of your heart what's most precious within you that you'd like to share with him? Father, here is me today. Here I am today. I come before you, Lord, with everything within me. I come, Lord, holding nothing back, giving you my heart and everything that I have. I come, Lord, and I invite you, have your way in me eternally. Eternally, consecrate me. Help me to be one of those elements in the world that carry your mighty presence. That carry your mighty presence. As we celebrate the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, Lord, let my life be a testament, hallelujah, to the glory of God, to the goodness of God. Fulfill your word in my life, perfect your will concerning me. Hallelujah. Lord, everything that you've spoken concerning me, establish it. Even beginning from today, I give you the glory. I give you the praise. I give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Woo! Amen. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Would you help me celebrate the Son of God? Hallelujah. Would you help me raise up the name of Jesus, Son of David? We give you praise. Would you help me say Hosanna, like they said thousands of years ago, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Thank you, Lord. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.